I'm speaking to you this morning from Psalm 50, the 50th Psalm, a very powerful, very plain declaration of the living and true God, of man, of salvation. Hear, and your soul shall live. In verse 1 it begins, "The mighty God, Almighty, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same." This is God's word. He speaks through His word. "And have not all men heard this in some way or another?" Yes. "From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, east and west." Verse 2, "Out of Zion," He said, "the perfection of beauty, God hath shined." Zion. Zion has always been a figure of a picture of God's true church, God's people. Out of Zion, or the church of God, are a people, is a people whom God has shown the light of the knowledge of the glory of Himself in the face, the person, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfection, the beauty of holiness that is in Jesus Christ and found in His people who worship Him. Verse 3. "Our God shall come." The writer of this psalm says, "Our God shall come." And He did. He did. It says, "He shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him. It shall be very tempestuous round about Him." He is speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Malachi wrote in chapter 3, "The Lord shall suddenly come to His temple. But who may abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when He appeareth?" He is like a refiner's fire. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, He said, "I am come to bring fire upon the earth." He said, "Do you suppose I came to bring peace? Nay, but rather a sword, like a fire." His word destroyed all false gods, all false notions, all of man's refuge, false refuges, destroyed man's supposed wisdom. Fire shall devour before Him, be very tempestuous round about Him. His first coming stirred the world, saved some, but stirred the world. His next coming will destroy it. Verse 4, "He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people." Christ came and called heaven and earth to bear record of Him, His words, His work. He said, "I have a greater than man that bears witness of Me, that is God Himself." He came to judge His people. He said in John 5, "The Father hath committed all judgment to Him. He has the keys of hell and death." And Christ came to judge, first of all, His people. Now, all souls are His to do with as He pleases. Scripture says in John 1, "He came to His own," that is, His own creatures. "They received Him not. None do, none will by nature, but God, who is rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved some of these God-haters, some of these Christ-rejecters, it pleased the Lord to make some of them His people." And so Christ came for His people. The transgression of My people, He was stricken. And He judged them. They were judged, convicted, and sentenced to death. "The soul that sinneth must surely die." In Christ, on the cross, the sentence was carried out on the cross. "The soul that sinneth must surely die," and Christ's soul was made an offering for sin. And now there is no condemnation for His people. No judgment awaits His people. They were judged in Christ on the cross. But now those not in Christ, not found in Him, will stand before Him someday to be judged by Him and hear Him call for their condemnation. Verse 5, it says, "Gather My saints together unto Me." Those that have made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. "Gather My saints," the sanctified ones, those set apart by God, chosen by God. Christ Himself said, said that he would send his angels to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, those chosen by him, called by him, reserved unto him for his glory, preserved by him, gathered by the gospel, gathered by the Spirit of truth, by the preaching of the gospel, gathered into the fold, into his kingdom, gathered unto Christ. Those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice, or that is, that are found in that covenant of grace, which Jesus Christ ratified by his own blood, by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's tree. All of God's saints, this very day, on the Lord's day, gather together to hear and to glory in Christ and him crucified. But now, there are many, oh so many, sadly, sickeningly, there are many who draw nigh with their lips only. There are many pretenders, many professors, not possessors, of Christ, of his Spirit, of the truth. Many pretenders. Read on with me. It says in verse 7, "Hear, O my people," or that is, those who say they are, "and I will speak, O Israel, I will testify against thee." Against thee. "I am God, even thy God." He testifies against those who say they're Jews but are not. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but inwardly, Scripture said. And true circumcision, the true mark of salvation, is by the hand of God, the work of God, the Spirit of God, the Christ of God, and it's inward. He says in verse 8, "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, burnt offerings, who have been continually before me." That is, the Jews of old went through the motions, observed the ceremonies, and still do today, although no lambs are being sacrificed. Well, professing Christians come continually. This day, there are many, thousands, millions, millions upon millions who gather, they say, in his name, and go through the motions. But he goes on to say in verses 9 through 13, I read all of these verses, "I will take nothing, no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats of thy fold. Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" What he is saying here is, God needs nothing from man. Do you hear the false prophets today tell you? Does your preacher tell you how much God needs you? Your money? Your person? Church can't be church without you. Do you hear your preacher? Do you hear these fellows say that God can't do anything without you unless you let him? What fools! The fool hath said, "No God." That is no God at all. He is no God that needs man. He is God that needs nothing, that needs no one. Man is poor and needy. Man is the needy creature. Are you? Are you? This is the one to whom God looks, the poor and needy. Those that are nothing, have nothing, can do nothing, and know this God who needs nothing and no one. The poor and needy is whom he came to save. In verse 14 he says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Now, Romans 1 is an indictment against, a declaration against man and his foolishness and his foolish notions and imaginations of God and his unthankful attitude. He says, where do I begin in Romans 1? In verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness." That is now the wrath of God from heaven, be it calamities, disasters, sicknesses, plagues, pestilence, whatever it may be. It's against all unrighteousness, ungodliness of men who suppress, who reject the truth. He goes on to say, God's eternal power and Godhead is clearly seen in His creation, and man is without excuse. In verse 21 says he does not glorify God. He's not thankful. He's unthankful. And in 2 Timothy 3, that speaks of the last of the last days, it says, men are lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Well, he says in our text in Psalm 50, offer unto God thanksgiving. We have no greater need to meet than to just thank God for everything. Everything. The God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. God, His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His provisions. But most of all, God's people gather, those who are in this covenant of grace, of redemption in Christ by His sacrifice, they gather to give thanks for the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness given to them to cover them. Oh, they offer thanks, and they vow a vow of honor and glory to Him and Him alone. Not unto us, they say, not unto us, but unto Thee is all the glory. Verse 15, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver them. Call upon me. Man, earth is in trouble with God. Christ is the deliverer of all His saints, all who call, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. He is the deliverer. And when He does, if and when He does deliver, whomever He delivers, they glorify Him. They glorify Him. What do you say to these things? Is this the God that you know? Is this the God that you've heard? Is this the Christ you have heard? The truth that you have heard? Do you gather with His saints to hear and to glory in His sacrifice, Christ and Him crucified? Have you heard His word? Have you heard His voice? Do you call upon Him for salvation, for mercy and truth? He says, I will deliver and you will glorify me. But, he says, to the wicked, those that hate instruction, cast my words behind them. They consent with thieves and adulterers, that is, corrupt leaders, corrupt government leaders, religious leaders. They listen to, consent to, slanderers and gossipers and deceitful liars. Oh my, he said, I heard you. I've heard you. These things you've done, I kept silent. He says, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. God is not like us. He's not like you think. He says, I'm going to reprove thee. I'll set everything in order. Everything will be made perfectly clear someday. But he goes on to say, consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you to pieces. The verse 23 ends with saying, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God, the praise of the glory of His grace, a life of faith and good works in Christ. That person knows the Lord and is saved. What about you? Amen.